بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. With regard to the hadith that we read yesterday, where Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said that he was shown all the rewards of the Ummah, all the good deeds and all the evil practices as well. So with regard to that, a further explanation is given. The hadith highlights the virtue of benefiting people and safeguarding them from harm. That the lowest action that was mentioned of the good deeds of removing something from the path of the people. So anything that causes any inconvenience to anyone, to remove that, that is also an act of great virtue. So this hadith highlights the virtue of benefiting people in whichever way we can. And of course, the greatest benefit is to give them Iman and Islam, that is the non-believers. And for the believers, to call them towards Deen, towards Iman and Islam. By the barakat of that, everything else falls in place. Ibn Raslan, Rahmatullah Ali, says that he heard from ulama that it is appropriate to recite La ilaha illallah when removing a harmful object from the path. That is, while we are doing that, removing a branch, a stone, whatever is harmful to people, at the same time to read La ilaha illallah. And the reason for that is that this is in order to unite the lowest branch of Iman, removing a harmful object from the path, with the highest part of Iman, the testimony of La ilaha illallah. That is the greatest part of Iman. And the lowest part is to remove something that causes difficulty. So if we read at that time La ilaha illallah, we have joined the two, the highest and the lowest. And that is very, very good for a person. Further, when the intention of the heart is joined to the speech of the tongue, actions reach perfection. To do actions without anything in the heart, an empty heart, that action is also empty. And just to have it in the heart and to do no action, then there is no action. But to do it both joined, the action of the heart and the outward action also, that is what is perfection. And that is what we must strive for. In all our matters, like we make namaz, the action of namaz is there. The heart must also be there. And if a person is sleeping in his bed and his heart is in the masjid, but his body is not here, that also is not sufficient. The heart and the action, both when they are together, that is when perfection is achieved. When we are making tilawat of Quran Sharif also, the outward action of tilawat is there and our heart must be joined also. Then see the great enjoyment also. Then a person will wonder that how can I not carry on reading Quran? The enjoyment will be there. The same way with dua also. A person, if he's making dua and his heart is with his dua, there is great, great enjoyment, and that is perfection, and that reaches the acceptance by Allah Ta'ala. And if it's only dua without the heart, or if only the heart is, I wish I can make dua, but I'm not making dua, then both are insufficient. When the two of them join. The hadith also urges us to refrain from harmful forms of speech. This is a very, very important thing for all of us. What the harmful types of speech. One should therefore be wary of speaking lies, which has become so common. Husband lies to the wife for no reason also. Wife lies to the husband. Insulting. This also has become very common. Even not openly insulting, but insinuating some remarks, belittling people, etc. Passing disparaging remarks, backbiting, sowing disunity between people. All these things are the gunas of the tongue. And unfortunately, they are so rife. Backbiting, for example, Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith, Maulana Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, right? That even the ulama and the pious people their gatherings are not empty of backbiting also. And it is such that we don't realize in the house while we just having meals, we just sitting around and it just happens we start backbiting about people. And if we tell that you are backbiting, then nobody likes it in the family also. So we should try and make a rule in the family that whenever anyone backbites, then somebody should remind, now we have gone into backbiting. And this happens so easy, and the harms and destruction of backbiting are so great, worse than committing adultery also, worse than taking interest also. This is a terrible crime, and unfortunately, good people, we all get involved in it. And we don't think of Toba also. We carry on, and when we backbite, we enjoy the flesh of our dead brother. How terrible is that? To eat the flesh of your Muslim brother, who will like to do that? And to eat the flesh of your dead Muslim brother, when he has died and now you eat his flesh. That is what the Quran declares it is. And this is common with us. Allah Ta'ala save us from it, inshallah. A few other points also. It is compulsory to honor the masjid and uphold its etiquette. That also we must keep in mind. Not just that we're coming to the masjid, that's a great thing, but to uphold the respect and honor of the masjid, which will include that if we see somebody making a noise, etc., then we should remind that person. And this happens commonly in the wuzu khana. We think we are not in the masjid, and that noise there overflows into the masjid also. And it causes, especially when the wuzu khana is not too far away from the masjid, and people there, they just start talking loudly. And the wastage of water also. People just open the tap much more than what is required. And sometimes we make miswak, which is a very good thing, but the water is flowing on the other side. We destroy the reward of that miswak also. So we should be very careful while talking, when making wuzu, wasting water, then we cannot even dream of having concentration in namaz. Then our namaz will just be an outward namaz. Therefore, from the istinja, when we must make that properly. Make the wuzu properly. Then hopefully we can have some concentration in namaz. But especially in wuzu, we are talking, we are wasting water, etc. And especially nowadays, all of us make wuzu from the tap. The amount of wastage in the tap, anyone who wants to gauge it, especially when we make a wuzu in a basin, just clog it, put the plug in and make wuzu and then see at the end how much water we used. Whereas that wuzu could have been made in one mud also. And yeah, how much we have used. And then again, even in that, how much we are wasting. While we are washing our limbs, our face, the water is just running all the time. And many of us, we don't consider of just a necessary trickle which is enough. We open it fully and let the water run. And especially in winter, when we want the hot water to come, we won't save up that hot, the water, that cold water that comes out first in a jug, which we can use for istinja. We can throw it in the garden. If we have a cistern where we can throw the water in, we can use it there. But we just let it run and just waste that water. So there is a lot of wastage. So this is also very important that we keep that also in mind. So the etiquette of the and other etiquette, the noise that takes place in the masjid also. And also the etiquette of the masjid includes that we must dress according to the occasion. Any other place we have an invitation somewhere, then there is officially written on the invitation card that the dress code. For the masjid also, there is definitely a dress code. And that is Islamic dressing. And this that we dress like non-believers when we come to the masjid. And worse than that, like the Bermudas and T-shirts, what all funny things written on them, written on the socks, etc. And then worse than that, some of our clothing, when we go in ruku, then it opens up at the back. And our whole sitter, in fact, many times part of the cavity shows from the back. And that is in the masjid, where the respect and the honor of the masjid, the malaika are present, the house of Allah. And then we wonder why difficulties are coming upon us. When we are so audacious and we break Allah's law so openly and we disrespect His masjid so much, His house, then how can we expect goodness to come? And that is those of us who are coming to the masjid who are causing this, and those who are not even coming to the house of Allah, who disregard totally the invitation of Allah, the azan which is given. We are all, we'll fight court cases that our azan, we must be permitted to give it over the mic. And it's given over the mic, it's to call us. And we ourselves are the ones who disrespect the azan. Other people who object about the azan, we have a big problem with that. We take them to court also. But we ourselves, what will we do in the court of Allah? When the azan, Allah's caller was calling us, and we paid no, forget paying attention, we carried on with our sports or wildly. We carried on shouting and screaming. We carried on with all the wrong things while the azan is carrying on. And not a thought passed our mind that we should come to the house of Allah, that we have been called by the greatest of the great to the greatest place for the greatest ibadah, but we pay no attention. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to respect. One therefore should not engage in improper behavior, such as spitting, shouting, belching, and talking about worldly matters in a masjid. There's belching also. Many people, when they sneeze, they don't control it at all. We are advised that we must try and control the sound of the sneeze. But we sneeze so loud that it seems like the foundation of the masjid is also being shaken, that the walls are also shaking. And after that, after a sneeze, to say Alhamdulillah, there isn't a pip squeak of a sound of Alhamdulillah. The sneezing is so loud, it hits the very brains of a person. His head doesn't work. How loud some people would sneeze. And no thought of controlling that sneeze. Like wild, we just go and we sneeze, and not even a little bit of Alhamdulillah after that. So all this belching, etc., all that we should try and control it in the masjid. And talking, etc., especially when there are certain occasions, like for example, when tashkil is being made, by all means encourage one another, but keep the respect of the masjid in mind. After nikah, congratulate the groom, no problem, but the respect of the masjid must be kept in mind. Give duas to the groom, all that is on its place, but the disrespect of the masjid. Wuzu, by all means make wuzu, but the talking and shouting and the noise in the wuzu khana, that is not correct at all. It is meritorious to remove unpleasant and offensive objects from a masjid. We shouldn't bring things in the masjid which are offensive in any way. Any parcels that we are carrying, we are traveling somewhere and we got parcels with us, and if we have to, like a jamaat comes, now most masjids have got a room for the jamaat. But if they have to be in the masjid, then all their bedding, etc., must be put neatly one side, covered up neatly. It must not be offensive in any way. Anything in the masjid, there must be nothing offensive. Nobody must even feel in his heart that this thing here is offensive. Things which have an odor is out of the question. That should not be in the masjid at all. Islam is all encompassing and promises reward for any good deed that is done for the pleasure of Allah. Even small, small acts, they also, a person acquires rewards from Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali says, don't regard any small good deed as small. That is enough to take you to Jannah. And don't regard any small guna as small. That smallest guna is enough to take you to Jannah. So we should not overlook, underestimate good deeds and even our bad deeds. Allah guide us consciousness of our deen and to act accordingly. Subhanallah.